Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
The Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. You know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but you never know what might pop up. So swing on over there, check it out, see what's going on. Maybe you'll find something interesting you like. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, well, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan, the man with three E's.
All right, Dan, so we're going to get this out of the way right away because it is Thursday night, and we do have an NFL game that we have to pick.
Oh, correct.
So tonight we have the 9-3 New Orleans Saints at the 7-5 Atlanta Falcons. You know, both these teams reside in the NFC South. The Saints are leading the division at 9-3. The Falcons are two games behind at 7-5. The Carolina Panthers are in between them. You know, right now the Falcons, who we watched in the Super Bowl last year, you know, they're out of the playoffs. So it's kind of a must win for them in this situation. Looking here already, Stu and I are going with New Orleans. I have not heard from Mr. Fantasy. You know, your Vikings beat the Falcons last week. The Saints got a win over the Panthers. So let's knock it out here before we jump into other stuff. Who you got?
I guess I'll err on the side of you guys go with the Saints.
All right. And as always, like I said, I don't have Mr. Fantasy's pick yet. You know, he likes to wait till just before kickoff and send it to me. At this point in time, I believe it's just intentional, and there's nothing I can do about it. So we'll have to wait till tomorrow to see who he picked and how it went.
And where are we in the standings?
Oh yeah, I didn't put it in the blog. He'll probably yell at me about that. We are. You are currently leading by 4 games. You're 119-57. Mr. Fantasy is in second place. 115-61. Stu is 110-66, and I am 109-67. We all had good weeks last week. Stu went 14-2. You were 11-5. You and I were 11-5, and Mr. Fantasy was 10-6. So, and you know, Avi, I don't think I've actually updated from last week. So your lead will probably be another game. But yeah, you've been holding down the lead now for a few weeks. So, but yeah, you know, we have to get into finally, you know, the winter meetings are almost here. We're getting some baseball action finally, and you know the Marlins looking to sell off pieces. All the talk had been about Giancarlo Stanton and what was going to go on, but instead, the first Marlin traded Dan is D. Gordon. Where is D. Gordon going? The Seattle Mariners. They get D. Gordon at $1 million in international spending capacity for 3 minor leaguers. They get a right-handed pitcher, Nick, I'm going to guess this is Netter, and then Christopher Torres and Robert Dugar. Now, I know exactly what Dan and everybody else is thinking. Oh, what the hell do the Mariners want D. Gordon for? They have Robinson Cano. Well, after the trade, the Mariners came out and said Gordon will be their center fielder. So there you go, Dan. What's your trade evaluation there?
Wow. I mean, doesn't Cano double as a DH though?
Do they what?
Doesn't Cano DH every once in a while?
He will, but don't forget they have Nelson Cruz as well.
Oh.
So.
I mean, I like it. That's a pretty solid move, moving him out to the outfield. I mean, I don't know if he was really, obviously he's known for his speed. And, you know, I never really heard, and I'm not going to knock it or say anything, but I never really heard much about his defense. So I would think with his speed that he'd be able to cover the ground, especially in Seattle. And then that international money, what does that help with? That helps with kind of going in my direction.
Yeah, we know what the international money is going for. What I find interesting, Dan, and I know, you know, Sabermetrics hates this, but when you look at the Mariner lineup now, you know, Gordon is going to be inserted at the top of the order. Gene Segura is going to bat second. That's over 100 stolen bases at the top of the Mariners order. You know, now I know, you know, it's going to drive everybody wild. You know, oh my God, it's stupid. You know, you can't win stealing bases. You know, these are going to be huge threats in front of guys like, you know, Cano, Cruz, and then Kyle Seager. You know, they did add Ryan Healy from the A's as well in the offseason to play first base. So I think they've made some interesting moves. If they, you know, land Ohtani, it could really kind of settle down the rotation, which, you know, obviously still has the King. Yeah, you know, struggled a little bit. You know, you had him in fantasy last year. He had a bit of a rough year. James Paxton pitched good when he was healthy. Had a problem staying healthy. You know, they picked up Mike Leake. He wasn't great. Maybe Marco Gonzalez gives them something. You know, he was a prospect in the Cardinal system for a while. And, you know, they did bring back Iwakuma, who I expect to end up in the rotation somewhere. So, yeah, again, it's looking like a pretty interesting team they're putting together. You never know with these guys. Obviously, it's a long way away. But I think it's a... You know, I think it's a pretty good move on their part. I've got to look here and see what they kind of gave up, because I don't know much about their, you know, their staff and stuff. And when they call them prospects, you know, what the hell do we really know? But I can tell you, Neidert is a 21-year-old right-hander who pitched in high A, mostly in high A last year. A little bit in double A. He had good numbers in high A, 19 starts. He was 10-3 with a 2.85 ERA. Didn't fare so well in double A, made 6 starts, was 1-3 with an 8.10 ERA. So a bit of a contrast there. Christopher Torres is a middle infielder. They list him as a shortstop and a second baseman. He's just 19 years old. Spent most of the season in low A, 48 games, hit 238, 8 doubles, 6 triples, and 6 home runs, did drive in 22, did steal 13 bases as well. So, you know, he's got a long way to go being his age. And then Robert Duggar, or however we're going to pronounce this, he's also a right-handed pitcher. He is 22. He split his season between A and high A, mostly A, made 22 starts, or excuse me, no, made 9 starts, pitched in 22 games. One of those odd stats, he had a complete game and 2 saves. Was 4-1 with a 2.0 ERA. In high A, he came in relief for 9 games, was 2-5 with a 3.94 ERA. So, again, another guy with a little bit of a contrasting year, but that's what the Marlins are getting to rebuild. So there's the start of it with Derek Jeter, and we'll sit and wait to see if and where Stanton goes. So, but I know you were thinking and talking earlier, Dan, with the Mariners gaining that additional $1 million, They now have more pool space for Ohtani than anybody else. They have $3.5 million, which is just ahead of where the Rangers are. So,
what are the Rangers doing?
You know, I thought the Rangers were at like 3.35 or something in that area. It's really close.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it boils down to the fact where he just wants more money, you know, right now the Mariners are the ones who have it. No saying that the Rangers can't go out and, you know, flip guy for international pool money and be right back in the lead again. You know, I know a couple teams did that with some minor deals. I think it was yesterday. You know, just minor league guys for international money. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, it looks like, you know, I love the top of the Mariner order now. it's D. Gordon, Gene Segura leading into Robinson Cano. But shouldn't Cano hit second, Dan? I think he's the best hitter in their lineup. Oh, wait, sorry. You know.
He should, right?
Yeah. Kind of sad. You know, and then the other move, not a trade, but a signing, the Cubs add an arm. They get 27-year-old, what I heard is soon to be 28-year-old, I will check on it, Tyler Chatwood. His deal is 3 years for $38 million guaranteed, and then with bonuses and everything, it can jump to $40 million. Chatwood will actually he'll turn 28 on December 16th. So it is definitely right around the corner. Now, he's had two Tommy John surgeries, so hopefully that's off the table. He made 25 starts for the Rockies last year, pitched in 33 games. Another one of those fun stats, he had one complete game. It was a shutout, and he got a save. He was 8-15 with a 4.69 ERA, but I've got to find his splits, Dan, because he had a really, really goofy, like, road home split. He just didn't do well in Colorado. Let me see if I can grab it here. Here we go. Home and away. Pitching home and away. I don't care about his hitting home and away. Why do I want a pitcher's hitting home and away first? That just makes no sense to me. So, but yeah, if I remember right, and this is all convoluted here, and now I can't. I just wanted a simple breakdown of his home and away stats, and they gave me all this goofy advanced sabermetric crap that I don't need for this, but. I believe his home ERA was over 6, you know, and his road ERA obviously was, you know, in the 4. So, you know, I don't know. You like this deal? You on board here with this, or how's your spidey senses? Here I found it. His home ERA was 6.01. His road ERA was 3.49. So, yeah, a little bit of a difference there, not pitching in Colorado, huh?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, as long as the Colorado trip, you don't start him, I think it's good. I mean, I had him on both of my teams last year, and he definitely gave you innings. I don't think he was, you know, high-end when it came to strikeouts, but, you know, I think he was close to, like, 5 or 6 a game. He's going to be there. He's going to be a nice, solid addition to the end of the rotation.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, we're looking at a guy who's going to be their 4 or 5 man. You know, we're not talking about a guy they're going to add to the top of the rotation. You know, it's still Lester, Hendricks, and then Quintana in some order. You know, and then Chatwood will be the 4 and. You know, I'm still under the impression they're going to bring John Lackey back. You know, I know he was talking that he wants to pitch one more year. I don't know why the Cubs wouldn't bring him back if they're not going to throw money at Jake Arrieta. So, but, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, we know there's, you know, zero prospects in the in the Cubs minor league system that are going to be able to fill that spot, unless they're going to go with, you know, they're going to give Montgomery a shot. I don't know why they wouldn't do that, but, you know, they'll need one more pitcher unless they blow it out and they spend a bunch of money on, you know, Darvish or somebody like that. But I like this ad a lot better than I liked the Brett Anderson signing last year when they tried to do this. So.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, as long as he doesn't turn out to be like him.
Yeah, what was humorous is I heard a lot of guys complaining, you know, on Twitter with retweets and everything that he's getting 12 plus million a year. And then somebody finally shut them all up when he said, hey, idiots, do you realize that Edison Volquez got $11 million last year from the Marlins, and his track record wasn't very good either coming into last season? You know, this is just the going rate. You know, this is what guys get. Even when you're, you know, a back-of-the-rotation starter, you're going to get $10, $12 million a season. You know, the welcome to baseball. But yeah, I thought that was kind of humorous that they were just all up in arms because, oh God, he's getting 12 plus million a year. And you know, what's he done and this and that. And I think they forget, you know, while his numbers weren't fantastic, you know, was it two years ago, you know, he did win 12 games for the Rockies. You know, on the plus side, he's making his starts. You know, it was 25 last year. It was 27 before that. It, you know, it looks like he's back from the Tommy John issue. And, I mean, if you can get 30 starts out of this guy and he keeps you in games, you know, he's got a career 4.31 ERA pitching, the majority of his games in Coors Field. Not terrible. You know, there's probably guys with a lot worse ERAs. You know, it's a solid back of the rotation signing that, you know, teams need. So I don't understand the complaint about the money. It was just kind of baffling.
Yeah. Now I know you said 30 starts, and this is not a knock on him, but with the management and not just Joe, do you think he'll have the opportunity or given? You know, be given 30 starts.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm hopeful that, you know, it kind of works out like that, and, you know, with no injuries and stuff, that it, you know, the rotation just kind of rolls through, and you know, he goes and, you know, gets his starts made and stuff. I mean, you know, even last year, you know, John Lackey made 30 starts on the nose. So, you know, maybe, you know, he's in that area where, you know, he's picking up, you know, as the four, you know, especially if he's the four man, he won't get skipped as much, you know, maybe once in a while. But if he ends up being the fifth starter, you know, that's the guy they always go, well, let's skip this guy today and let's just bring, you know, Lester back or Hendricks back or Quintana back, whoever's at the top of the rotation there. So, you know, we'll have to see. But they did have him, you know, in the trade rumors top 50. You know, they do their top 50 free agents. They had Chatwood up there. He was 29th. So, you know, they had a pretty good ranking on him. And, you know, we'll just kind of have to see how – you know, how it goes. And I mean, the big key, you know, we don't know any of these, you know, they've got to stay healthy. So, you know, that's how it goes. But yeah, it was just nice to finally, you know, get a little action that wasn't, you know, Shohei Ohtani or Giancarlo Stanton related. So do you have any breaking Giancarlo Stanton news today, Dan?
Yes, apparently the order has switched, but everyone's still interested.
Yeah, we got to do that every day, I think, until he actually gets traded. But yeah, you know, so that was nice, and you know, we got the, you know, the winter meeting started. Do they start Monday, Dan? Or do they get up and rolling then?
I believe so. My iPad just died, so I can't look anything else up.
Uh-oh. you killed your iPad. So yeah, you know, but that'll get a, you know, obviously a little more action going, and you know, we'll see, you know, see what goes on with, you know, with that. But yeah, I found it one of the interesting topics I heard today is they're, you know, obviously, you know, like we know, Stanton is still the number one trade target out there. But some of the teams that have kind of been left out of the Stanton market are apparently reaching out to the Orioles because they want Manny Machado. Now, you know, Machado is in the last year of his deal. So, you know, he's part of that free agent class next year with Bryce Harper and, you know, just that monster class that apparently is going to be out there. And again, Dan, I heard some magical idiot talking head on the baseball network, you know, the MLB network, and sadly I forgot his name because I really just didn't care, said that the Orioles have to trade Machado because they need to restock their farm system.
It's like a third year in a row.
Yeah, why, Dan? Just why? I just don't know why anymore. I just can't deal with it. You know, I mean, we're talking about, you know, one of the best players in the game, and obviously, you know, you don't hear a lot about him because, you know, with the Trouts and the Harpers, Stantons and those guys, you know, he gets overshadowed a little bit. But the interesting thing is he's an infielder. Yeah, and he's in Baltimore. So, yeah, you know, he's an infielder. These other guys are outfielders. But, yeah, I just, again, it's like, I, you know, I mean, the season hasn't even started. We're not even to the new freaking year. And I'm listening to this idiot say, well, they have to trade him. I mean, their farm system is one of the worst in baseball. Okay. Great. We're gonna trade our best player because we need to build up our farm system. Yeah. You know, I know he had, you know, he actually had a down year last year. You know, he only hit 259. He still hit 33 bombs. You know, and drove in 95, but yeah, his average was way down. I mean, for his career, he's 279, so there's no reason he won't bounce back. But yeah, you know, again, it's just like somebody needs to punch one of these guys in the face, Dan. It's just to that point. You know, I can't deal with the fact that it's, oh yeah, well, they have to do this. Why do they have to do it? I mean, the kid's 24 years old, Dan. Imagine, you know, and I'm sure they would have a chance to re-sign him. They could sign him for 10 years, and it wouldn't be a terrible deal because, well, he would be, you know, technically he'd be 35 by the end of the deal. That, you know, that with the way baseball goes nowadays, that's not a bad deal. He could still be productive when he's 35. But yeah, I just
one of your kind of,
you know, and then you look
the value of the contract would be very economical for any team in 5 years, you know, even 4 years.
Right.
If something were to kind of fall apart for the Orioles.
You know, and then in reality, Dan, I mean, you're getting a guy who's in the last year of his arbitration, you know, or your, you know, or his contract, I should say. How many prospects are you actually going to get for him? You know, I mean, are you going to get more than two because there's a chance that team isn't going to be able to re-sign him?
Yeah, I guess that's another way.
You know, I mean, you know, I mean, what, you know, you're going to get, okay, so, you know, or maybe you get one top prospect, you get one guy, say, in a team's top 10, and then maybe you get three other guys, but they're all outside that team's top 100 prospects. Did you really get a good deal for him? You know, is that the kind of deal you're looking for?
Yeah,
You know, I mean, I would rather negotiate with the guy and try to keep him and build around him. You know, I mean, you want to trade other pieces. Well, maybe deal Zach Britton, because closers are a lot easier to find than, you know, MVP third basemen are. So, when the guy said, well, they have to trade him, I'm like, yeah, somebody find me. I didn't know where the remote was at the time. It's like, I need to change the channel. So, because this guy's just a complete toolbox. I don't get it. And I know, not everybody's thrilled with the Orioles, but I'm not sure they're as far away as people, think they are. I mean, they contended for the wild card a little bit last year, you know, and obviously a lot depends. And we talked about this the other day, you know, if your guy Dylan Bundy and then Kevin Gausman can come through as one and two starters, you know, I think they have a legitimate shot at competing. Obviously it'll be interesting to see how they add the pieces. But, I mean, you look at the names, you know, they still have Chris Davis. Jonathan Scope was one of the better second basemen we didn't talk about last year. They added Tim Beckham at shortstop. Trey Mancini had a great rookie year. You just didn't hear about him because there was a guy named Aaron Judge playing in New York. And then all the preseason hype was on Andrew Benintendi. You know, Adam Jones is still in center. You know, Mark Trumbo is still a quality home run hitter. And, you know, it looks like they may finally give way in right field and go with one of their prospects, Austin Hayes. You know, it really looks like the everyday lineup is pretty solid. It's just kind of wrapping up the rotation and, you know, getting some help there. And, you know, like the Cubs did, you know, it wasn't expensive to add a back of the rotation guy. You know, there's no reason the Orioles can't go out there and do the same thing and bring a Jeremy Hellickson back, or, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, some of the other pitchers that are, you know, kind of hanging around out there. But there are guys, you know, definitely guys out there that they could roll in and, you know, take a look at. So, yeah, the idea of just, you know, shipping off your best player because of your farm system seemed ludicrous to me, and I just can't get used to this.
Yeah, I mean, the only way I could see them shipping them off is if for some reason they don't think they can come to terms, you know, for an extension.
Yeah, or they're blown away by a deal, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, because you got to figure if, you know, like a team like the Braves show up and say, hey, we're going to give you, you know, three of our top prospects plus this throw-in guy or whatever, you give us Machado, you know, you may have to take that. You know, that's one of those things you may have to grab, but, you know, looking at the list here, you know, I mean, obviously there, you know, there's big names out there, you know, the Darvishes, the Arietas, you know, everybody wants Alex Cobb, but, you know, there are under the radar guys. You know, Andrew Cashner had a good year for the Rangers last year. Jaime Garcia is out there. He's still a solid starting pitcher. I mentioned Hellickson. You know, you could kind of add some of these guys. I mean, you know, if you think maybe you could get him righted, you bring Francisco Liriano in on like a one-year deal with an option. And, you know, see, you know, add kind of that lefty to your rotation. So, you know, there are some guys, you know, you could possibly drop in and add, and, you know, in this market, what would be considered cheaply, you know, to Gausman and Bundy and those guys and give them a little veteran presence. So, yeah, I you know, again, like I said, I was just baffled that it was like, oh, yeah, well, they have to do this. It's like, oh, God, no, make them stop, Dan.
Well, I mean, when you said there, the teams that were more or less out of the running of Stanton were calling the Orioles, you know, I wasn't immediately thinking sell now to rebuild, restock a farm system that doesn't really guarantee. I mean, The Red Sox had the number one in 2013. They won the World Series. And, you know, what they kind of filled up with that was given to the White Sox. And I don't know the status of their farm system now. But I can't imagine it's still being on the high end. So while you may win it once, just like the Cubs, it doesn't guarantee longevity, having, you know, this fully stocked number one farm system. But regardless of that, the first thought that came to mind was third base was St. Louis, you know, because you said who's out of the standard talks, and obviously it was mentioned he doesn't want to go there. I mean, he would be an awesome fit there. But, you know, like you said, would they be able to sign him for, you know, get an extension? You know, and that was my thing when the Cubs took on Aroldis Chapman was, if they're not, you know, able to trade and get him first signed for an extension, you know, you and I talked about that. We both knew that that trade would happen and that he was going back to the Yankees no matter what. We knew win or lose, you know, World Series win or lose, he's going back to the Yankees. So, you know, for anyone who was surprised, I don't know why, but, you know, that's one of those things, like, if you're a team looking to get Machado, you can give away whatever you give away, but it's really not going to be worth it unless you can, you know, like you said, you can't really blow them away, the Orioles, unless you've, and I don't even know if it's possible, if you're able to negotiate an extension right away. Because I don't see giving up three prospects and the magic international pool money for a guy that you're only going to have for 1 year.
Yeah, you know, and that, you know, obviously that would be the tough thing. You know, how do you make that, you know, that decision, you know, it's like, okay, you know, where, and, you know, can we bring him back? Cause you know, you've got to wonder if a guy like Machado would want to go out and test the market.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
you know,
that's
that,
why
that
I don't
could
think
be quite...
if he does get traded, I highly doubt that it's going to happen prior to spring training. And that's going to be something that they're looking at via trade deadline. Maybe, you know, not even so much the trade deadline, but, you know, afterwards too, if he can go through the waivers. So if he gets traded, I don't think that will happen till after the trade deadline, so to speak, so that the O's get a better look at where they are in the playoff standings. I mean, the Yankees and the Red Sox look great now, but you never know. You know, the Red Sox looked awesome in 2015 and just kind of, you know, weren't there like they were, or 2016. Wait, no, that was last year. I'm so thrown off. What year is it, Big Jack? 2017. Yeah.
2017, yeah. We're heading into 2018. So,
so, you know, 2016, I really thought was going to be a big year for the Red Sox. Then, you know, it wasn't as big as I thought. So you never know where you can end up with the playoff standings, you know, by the end of July, middle August. So I highly doubt that he's going anywhere. And, you know, I get it where that guy's saying, and on paper, that's great, blah, blah, blah. But you also have to think about the other side, and you can't just throw out stupid-ass statements like that. It just, you know, like you, it doesn't make sense. And if you're going to throw it out there, you got to give more of a reason than, we need to restock their farm system. You know, oh, did you do a whole lot of research to figure, you know, to pull that one out of the hat? Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the odd
really
thing is, you know, like I looked up some of the Orioles rankings and farm system and stuff, and their farm system really isn't that bad. Apparently what the weakness is they're very much like the Cubs. They don't have any pitching in it. So, you know, they're a pitching weak team that doesn't have pitching coming through their system. So, you know, but you and I both kind of know how, you know, how pitching goes.
Yeah.
You know, it can kind of magically appear out of nowhere.
But
you know, I think a lot of guys, you know, right, you know, a lot of guys are still hung up with the fact that you have to throw 100 miles an hour, and you don't. You know, I mean, look at Kyle Hendricks. You can get guys out throwing, you know, a whole lot less than that. So I don't, you know, again, I would like to know, you know, their ratings and what their decision making was and, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. So.
Well, you know, and that's something that
yeah,
we talked about before. That's something we talked about with the White Sox, you know, and I asked you the million-dollar question. Regardless of if they're on time or early with their rebuild, the fact that they've, you know, garnered all these, you know, grabbed all these prospects, you know, pretty good ones too, nonetheless, does that guarantee them a World Series? And you and I both know that it doesn't guarantee anything. I guarantee they have a really great shot, and they have a really great shot at looking good, but we don't know.
Yeah, it's humorous because, like, everybody who's writing seems to think it's going to be difficult for the Orioles to re-sign Machado, and that's why they need to, that's one of the other reasons they need to trade him. But, you know, I mean, he's the face of their franchise. So, you know, but like they're predicting, you know, he's going to get a $400 million contract. And, you know, right away, the clubs that come in when he hit the free agent market, where's he going, Dan?
Yankees.
There you go. The Yankees. And all of a sudden, the Phillies name has come up quite a bit when it comes to these type of guys. You know, apparently the Phillies are salivating for Bryce Harper to get on the free agent market, and you know, they're going to back the Brinks truck up to his house, but I don't get it. So, but I also, while I'm thinking about it, Dan, I have to give you credit here because you brought this up, you know, I think it was a day or two ago, or it might even been last week when we were talking about Eric Hosmer. And I believe you mentioned how the Padres would be a really good hit fit for Hosmer, and they could bump Will Myers back to the outfield. And apparently the Padres, right now the Padres are serious contenders to sign Hosmer and make just that move. So I don't know where you're getting your info from, but yeah, you were right on. You know, it looks like that's something that, you know, the Padres are interested in doing.
Yeah, like I said, that was an MLB thing, and an article that remained nameless. But, you know, when I saw that, I totally gravitated to it because it made sense. And we don't know how much money they have, but we've got to imagine that they've got some money because they don't really have any high contracts out there.
Yeah, Will Myers is the only contract they have. So, you know, that's how it worked out. Oh, and you asked me about the bonus pool for Ohtani. I was actually a little off. The Mariners have $3.557 million to give. The Rangers have $3.535 million to give. So it's right there. They're almost neck and neck. So, but yeah, and then, you know, the other thing I saw was, on actually the MLB website, they're reporting that Giancarlo Stanton is going to be traded before the winter meetings start. And they do start on Monday. They're in Lake Buena Vista, Florida. I don't know if they're there every year, but it's a cool name to say. So yeah, I guess we're looking now, you know, it's Thursday already. We haven't heard much today. So I guess they got, you know, about 3 days to peg this down before we hit the meetings. Do you buy that? Are you buying the fact that it's going to work out and he's going to be dealt? So, you know, because we all know, you know, the Giants are the closest team right now. But I didn't hear – a ton of news about it today. You know, there still are some reports that the, you know, Cardinals are attempting to remain in the running. And then the other name I've heard is that the Angels are still trying to be players here. So, which of course, I mean, would be quite interesting. I mean, if they did make a deal, they could always, you know, include one of their outfielders. I'm sure they could get the Marlins to take, take Cole Calhoun for the right price, and then they could always deal Calhoun somewhere else if they wanted to, to make a bit of a move like that. But, interesting to see that, you know, this is going to possibly come to fruition. You know, it seems like we've been talking about this since, you know, Derek Jeter and his conglomerate took over the Marlins. So we'll have to see. They do mention that the Dodgers are possibly the team that's going to try to sneak in and snake the Giants out of a Stanton deal. Apparently from reports, the Dodgers have just been kind of keeping tabs on the situation. And, you know, they're waiting to see with what they would have to jump in with. Now, you know, I was one of the ones along with Dan. You know, if I'm the Marlins, I would really be interested in working with the Dodgers, because not only do they have a top-notch farm system, but, you know, they could include Yasiel Puig in a deal. And while you don't think, it's Puig, you know, he's hot and cold, he's kind of a nut, but he's Cuban. You know, that fan base right around the Marlins ballpark is heavily Cuban. They have an incredibly difficult time drawing. You know, if you brought a guy like Puig in, he could be your drawing card. So we'll have to look and see if the Dodgers get in. But Dan, I was asking you before you had to duck out there for a second, do you believe we're going to see a Stanton deal before Monday?
I don't think so. I think if anything, it's going to be sometime next weekend or before Christmas.
Yeah, you know, I think, I'm guessing sometime next week, you know, while the meetings are going on, somebody finally hammers this out. But, who knows? I mean, you know, unless the Giants can just be kind of like, hey, let's get this locked down. You know, maybe they up their offer a little bit to get it out. I mean, they could possibly overpay. So,
I mean, it's pretty much all in his court, I would say. Well, I guess probably not all in his court, but the final decision lies with him. And I mean, you know, where do you want to go? And I don't know if, you know, obviously we don't know these guys personally or, you know, have relationships with their agents yet. but you've got to wonder how much, you know, his team, so to speak, and that would be his agents and family and all that, how much they're watching the Ohtani deal and, you know, what they think of that. And if trying to go with a team, you know, like the Giants, if the Giants are going to land him, you know, do you wait it out to see if that's where he goes? And that might, you know, help, you know, make him go into the office and say, hey, Jeter. And that's, of course, you know, subject to whoever's actually in the office. But, hey, I want to go to San Francisco, make it happen. You know, because I think, you know, obviously with the D. Gordon trade going to Seattle and him being opted out to the center field. Well, I mean, you never know. Could he go to Seattle and play right field? But no, Nelson Cruz is out there, so. I don't see.
But we
have
a DH spot.
Yeah, that is true.
No.
They can go back and forth, right?
Yeah, you know, it might be better to go back and forth. You know, you get a little extra rest that way, just DHing. So,
yeah.
You know, there are teams that attempt to use it that way. But, yeah, you know, I would like it all just to be done so we could kind of move on and get some other stuff done and some other stuff to talk about. But you know, I get it. It's you know, it's a big deal. You know, you got to work these out just so, and you know, make sure.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like these two deals kind of, it's, you know, move A versus move B. And I don't know if in Ohtani's camp, if it's kind of the same thing. Are we waiting out, you know, are they waiting out to see what Giancarlo does? You know, do either one of these guys.
Yeah, you know, because I know we.
Would either one of these guys like the opportunity to play with each other?
Yeah, well, you know, we kind of mentioned it yesterday. I mean, if Stanton goes to the Giants, you know, they're on Ohtani's list. That's gotta move them up, you know, depending on where he has them ranked. But, you know, I mean, I would look at that team going, man, this team can win. You know, and I know he would like to play some outfield, and that might be a little difficult, you know, in San Francisco, because, you know, you're looking at Hunter Pence and Giancarlo Stanton in the corners. You know, so unless they'd be willing to try to play him in center field, I don't know. But, you know, still, I mean, I love the idea of being able to play, but, man, I would like to win. You know, that could be really cool if I came in my first year we won.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and the Giants, obviously, it would be a huge bounce back. And, you know, why wouldn't you want to pitch, you know, Bumgarner?
But, you know, the other thing is do you want to be kind of the lead? Not to take it away from Felix, but, you know, being the older guy, I still think if they had Ohtani, they landed Ohtani, it would still be, you know, King 1, Ohtani 2. But, of course, you know, pitching rotations might switch up in the beginning of the season simply for the fact that you probably want King Felix pitching opening day at home. I haven't, you know, looked into their schedule, so I'm not sure where that exactly lies. You know, he would almost, you know, being in Seattle, he would kind of more or less be the star of the team. And then maybe they, with Nelson Cruz out in right field, Cano at short, I mean, second, D. Gordon in center, that opens up that DH spot for those other days.
Yeah, he would have an I still think with an American League team, he's got more of an opportunity to get at bats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, whatever National League team he ends up with, it's going to be difficult for them, you know, no matter how they kind of juggle the lineup and, you know, the magical stuff they do. It's going to be tough to find those, you know, those extra at bats he's looking for, because obviously, you know, you're going to be taking the bat out of one of your regular's hands, especially a corner outfielder where, you know, a lot of teams are set in those positions, and, you know, they like the guys they have, and, you know, not all of them are, you know, Jason Hayward types where you can go, hey, just move over and play center today. You know, you know, Stanton can't do that. Pence can't do that anymore for the Giants. I think Puig could do it with the Dodgers, but it seems more and more like the Dodgers are out of the Ohtani running now.
Seemingly. But, you know, the more he goes out, they go out of the running, you know, sometimes that's where the surprise comes in. So, I mean, it's one of those, it's a toss-up, you never know. But, I mean, from what we've read, what we've looked at, and, you know, especially like you said, the deal that was made today, or was that today or overnight, whatever, I guess it doesn't really matter. You know, I still think, you know, my two teams, if we had to pick, well, I did pick still the Giants and the Mariners. And the way I see it, though, you know, for me, if you throw all those teams, you know, the Cubs would definitely be 7 and the Mariners would definitely be 1. I don't know if you put the Dodgers down at 5 or 6. You know, with the Padres kind of in there at the middle at 4.
Yeah, and you got to think, the Rangers are probably going to be, they're probably 2 or 3. Maybe they're even, you know, with the Giants or the Mariners, depending on however you have it ranked. But, yeah, I think right now Seattle is the front runner. You know, it would be interesting to see how this finally shakes out. But, yeah, I don't think I'll be surprised wherever he lands. You know, if an eighth team somehow magically gets in the mix and, you know, they bring him in, I don't think that would surprise me at all. You know, it's just kind of the way this stuff goes. So, we'll have to, kind of like the Stanton trade, you know, the Dodgers are just kind of on the outside waiting to see what the offer is to see if they can beat it.
You know, what just dawned on me, if, you know, the way journalism goes and, you know, being able to protect sources and whatnot, if you and I started tweeting out what we thought and just saying our sources close to the team, can we get more followers and people to kind of pick up on it?
Yeah, I get stuck on followers, you know, for my, you know, at Berktime account. I get to about 125. It never goes above that. So, you know, I'll get a couple and then I lose a couple. It just goes back and forth. So I don't know how those people rack up. They must pay for all those, you know, those people with millions and millions of followers. I don't get that at all. So.
No, well, my point being, you know, we always would protect our sources. So if you just started tweeting out, right, you know, my sources close to the team told me this, and it's really just our thoughts and it comes true.
Right, and you can always say our sources, and those could be Mr. Fantasy or Schomburg Stew. They don't have to, you know, that's just our source. So.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be. Our sources would be each other.
Yeah. But switching up here real quick, Dan, before we run out of time, we actually had a pretty big NBA trade today. The 76ers finally found a taker for Jahlil Okafor. You know, they had been sitting him and playing him limited minutes and just weren't interested in getting him on the court. Well, it turns out today that Okafor, along with Nick Stauskas and a 2019 second-round pick, are going to the Brooklyn Nets, and in exchange, the 76ers are going to get Trevor Booker. So Okafor is going to get an opportunity to, you know, to finally play and get into a rotation where he was going to be used. You know, he was the third pick overall back in 2015. Yeah, no, he went third that year. But yeah, I mean, he just hasn't been, you know, playing, you know, like the, when, looking here, he hasn't played the last four games. You know, they just, you know, haven't really gotten him in. Or is that the Nets schedule? Did they switch it over on me already? But yeah, I know, you know, he wasn't playing a ton of minutes with the Sixers. They decided, you know, I want to say, I think he was injured last year, but he was an all rookie player in his rookie year. Here you go. Yeah. In 17-18 season, he's played two games. Average 12 minutes. So I guess they lost out on the process there with him. You know, they're getting something in return. You know, I think the Nets got the better end of the deal, but you know, the Sixers are just at this point, I think they're okay with giving it up to get the move on and stuff. But yeah, if you happen to, take a chance and pick him up in fantasy, I think he's going to start to pay off a little bit for you, because he's, you know, he's going to get an opportunity, and you know, he is, you know, almost 7 feet tall, and those guys can score.
Now, I got one more, you know, big giant basketball news, but we'll save that for the last couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Right after you answer my question. I mean, do you feel like the legacy of the Sixers has just kind of died with Iverson?
Yeah, you know, man, they worked hard to bring it back, and while they are improving and they have an opportunity to kind of get it back, they just buried this team with the tanking, and I get what they were trying to do, but their process, as they call it, just took way too long. So I think they killed it.
Yeah, I mean, you go back, that was Dr. J's team. That was Dr. J's team, and then, you know, you walked around anywhere with an Allen Iverson jersey in the early, you know, was it the 90s or 2000s? No one questioned it, but now people be like, "You're a Sixers fan? What are you doing with that on?"
But yeah, and I'm sure your other breaking NBA news is just what mine is. So go ahead and throw it out there.
Well, of course, you brought it up a couple of days ago, and LaMelo, is no longer what is that committed to UCLA, as he and his brother LiAngelo, I always want to call him LaJello, but LiAngelo.
Yeah.
Have signed with an agent. And like you've said all along, well, since the day that Melo was pulled out of school, that they're going to play overseas. And I think that's obviously the route that they're going to go. Will they go to China?
Yeah, you know, I heard a report today that there's already been interest from teams in, like, you know, the Philippines and some other countries. So it's definitely going to be, you know, going to be something that's going to happen here, you know, soon, just depending on, you know, where they want to play. And I know LeVar said he wants them to play together, which I think is a good move in a foreign country. I also assume he's probably got to go with them, because we're talking about two really young kids. I mean, what, Jello is all of what, 16, and LaMelo, or Jello's 18, and is LaMelo only 16?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see. Yeah, it was Europe and Asia are the teams that have already expressed interest in them. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of money they throw around, and, how it works out. But, yeah, I won't be surprised if this – I don't know when the Euro season starts or anything like that, but I won't be surprised if this gets rolling pretty quickly there and these guys are out and about and on the court. And some of those Euro teams pay really big money. You know, the one team
–
I remember they offered Kobe Bryant a $100 million contract back in the day to try to get him to jump. So there definitely will be money out there for them, you know, when they make this move, or, you know, however they decide to make this move. But I guess I can't say I'm surprised at all. I think we both kind of saw this coming. You know, we knew they were going to end up going somewhere and playing somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, to his dad, you know, I guess I don't want to say the faith in your kids, but, the support, there's a word I'm looking for, the drive to kind of get them to, I don't know if it's reached their dreams or his dreams more so. The only thing I don't get so much as, and it's not a knock, it's just the fact that how can you really judge a 16-year-old's talent on what he's done in high school? You know, and what was it, 1-16? So maybe he had two full seasons. We obviously, there's no, I highly doubt Basketball Reference has LaMelo's high school basketball statistics and all that crap. But, I mean, what can you really judge from that? And, I mean, you're really banking and hoping on the fact that he continues to grow. And I just don't see how they could officially evaluate a 16-year-old to be a professional.
Yeah, no, it's tough. And, you know, our music should actually be playing right now, because we've only got about 15 seconds on air, but it left off. So we do know Dan did inform me he's not going to be able to make it tomorrow. I'm going to try to get Stu to come on. So tune in about 5 to 6. Hopefully we will be there for you. But I don't know why the music didn't work, Dan. It's not even Wednesday. But say goodbye, and I will end the episode.
Oh, sportstimeradio.com. I would have went rambling on.